APAMADA's programmes and facilities are supported through your generosity. Your support really does make a huge difference. You'll find a link for contributions on the website at apamada.org/contribute. Thank you so much.
How to really comport myself. So I traveled to San Francisco and arrived at City Center in town, at the corner of Page and Laguna. Not the best part of town, but a beautiful building, and found my room in the men's dormitory in the basement, which was a futon on the floor. And they said, tomorrow morning after breakfast, someone will give you a tour. You know, you show you the ropes kind of and what to do. Meet at the entryway to the Zendo. There was a door that came off of Laguna where people could come from that didn't live there, you know, to come to Zazen, just like our porch. And so I met inside there, and it was where the shoe rack was. And a young man came to help me, and he introduced himself, and he says, what's your name? I said, my name is Flint Sparks. And he went, I mean, I get that all the time, but but this time he said, have you ever read the Fukan Sazangi? I said, no, what's that? And he said, later, well, I'll tell you. Little did I know that there was that line which was embedded with the chuckles yesterday, where it says, you've gained the pivotal opportunity of human form, which I think, Mary Beth, you were underlining. And I thought at that moment, arriving there, like when you arrived in Joko, you began to realize, oh, I've gained a pivotal opportunity. Don't use your time in vain as we began this retreat. You're maintaining the essential working of the Buddha way. I had no idea what that meant. But that's what I want to talk about this morning, maintaining the essential way. Who would take wasteful delight in the spark from a flintstone? I sort of took that personally at first, you know. But then I realized, oh, there's this flash that happened just for a moment. And if you get just captured by the flash, you don't understand its function. And then following that, it says, this is towards the end, of course, and we're going to go back to this. It said, besides, form and substance are like the dew on the grass, destiny like the dart of lightning, emptied in an instant, vanished in a flash, which is essentially the ending of the Diamond Sutra. Dogen inserted that. It's a very famous, very famous line. So this is where I found myself at that time, young and ish at that time, and new and enthusiastic and foolish and all the things that go with that. You know, Dogen wrote this essay when he was 28 years old. He had just come from China. He wrote this in the last half of the year 1227, sometime between December 5th and October 5th and December 10th. I don't know how they know that, but there's some dates to his. And he was full of enthusiasm, just like I was, and about practice. And he'd learned this new practice called Zazen from his teacher, Ru Jing, in China. And he was eager to share it with people. But he didn't write it for the temple where he was teaching or practicing, or to add it to a compendium of monastic things. People were curious. This is actually what he wrote. And this, but in English translation, these are Dogen's words. Says, since in Japan, it's never been possible to learn about the special transmission outside the scriptures or treasury of the right Dharma eye, much less the principles of Zazen. He said, they're not transmitted here. He's talking to, writing to Japanese people. So as soon as I returned home from the land of Song, China, and students began coming to me for instruction. I was obliged for their sake to compile this work on the principles of Zazen. It's like giving a Dharma talk. It's like, okay, for your sake, you asked me to do this, so we'll do this. Said long ago, the Chinese Zen master Po Chang constructed a monastery with a hall set aside especially for Zazen practice. So that was like a new thing in China, Zendo. In so doing, he effectively transmitted the true style of the first Zen ancestor, Bodhidharma. The style was distinct from the briars and brambles. This is very Dogen. The briars and brambles of word attachment of the Buddhist schools that had preceded him. This is something that students should know and not be confused about. So this was his orientation, because we know, you know, the roots of Buddhism are in India. And we have that first transmission of Mahakashyapa, you know, the study about the flower, right? Where this, he said, does anybody here basically understand? And he said, that's one person, and he was holding a flower. It was simple, it was embodied, and it was wordless. Ordinary, profound, holy, like you called it. So it's the foundation of Zazen in some ways. And Chan originated later in China, sometime around the 6th century. And then that school spread all over Asia and made a big impact, and it became Zen in Japan, which is the one we know more about, probably. and this, and Bodhidharma, many of you know, the Western barbarian, you know, you see pictures of him? You know, he's a grumpy old guy with a beard. Yeah, there he is up there, the white robe, you know. And when he was asked what this school was, or what his teachings were, or what this, the very, very famous line most of you know, he said, it's a special transmission outside the scriptures. This is what Dogen was referring to. Not depending on words and letters, directly pointing to the mind, seeing into one's true nature and attaining Buddhahood. So this was a different approach. A little more of what Dogen wrote at that time. He said, he referred not only to Po Chang, this guy who written this thing for the monastery, but also another fellow Chung Tzu, who was a gardener. And he wrote recommendations for how to do gardening. So Dogen says, for the most part, Fukun Zazengi follows Po Chang's original text or intent, but it also contains some additions made by Sung She, that's the gardener, himself. This has resulted in errors of various kinds, as well as an overall lack of clarity. And then he makes an important statement, which is why we're doing what we're doing. He said, no one who does not already know the meaning behind the words can fully understand what he's trying to say. So we take time. For that reason, I have now gathered together and written down the true principles of Zazen that I learned in Song China, in hopes that they will transmit the inexpressible heart of the Buddha ancestors. So I'm taking some time with this. I know some of you know these things, but it's important to have a context for a reason I'm getting to here. In fact, if you look at scholarly things about the Fukan Zazengi, you'll see, you know, when he starts the first four or five paragraphs and then he starts to give instruction, and it seems like that's a different thing. It is a different thing. That he cut and pasted in his computer, that part from Po Chang. It actually, you know, some of these parts he just inserted, and then, like he said, tweaked them a little bit, you know, in edit. So we know that the historical Buddhist practice that came from India, the aim was achieving enlightenment. And that was the point of doing the practice, and it was the goal of the practice. But Ru Jing showed Dogen that what the Buddha taught was way more subtle and immensely more vast than some personal project for awakening. This was the big revolution. Rujing showed Dogen, it was young at that time, as you know, that enlightenment was boundless and wondrous. So how could it be another object of our mind produced by this conditioned, limited mind? You think it didn't make any sense, but that's how it always had been taught. It's this yogic activity you could engage in and then get something that you didn't have before, like doing a better downward dog or something. I know it's silly, but it's in that. So what the Buddha taught then was far more pervasive and profound, Rujing was saying. And if any of you have read some of the Mahayana sutras, like the Diamond Sutra, the Flower Ornament Sutra, if you have, they're like kaleidoscopic and like, I don't know what they were smoking.
It's like, psychedelic.
Yeah, it was very psychedelic. And that's why they're written that way. Not because there's these fancy heavens and high states you get to, because it's an attempt to express something that is beyond what you can conceive of. Using everyday things. So they're, you know, kind of wild and elaborate. But he was saying that this practice was not some, it didn't give you some new and improved state of consciousness. And how many of us came to Buddhism hoping for that? I mean, that's what we think it is. I'm going to relax, have a quieter mind, not be such a jerk. You know, I'll be a better person. Maybe that'll make the people around me nicer too. You know, whatever it is, it's going to help me in some way. And he's saying that this is not some new state of consciousness suddenly appearing, not some new conditioned state produced by the efforts of a conditioned mind that you could contrast with other states. Like, this is the good one. It's not a comparison. Because, you know, every state comes and goes. We know that. So it's impermanent and dependent on other things. It's also not some stable, it's not a conditioned state. It's also not a stable trait, because then it would be a thing, you know, that you could have a label and claim. It's like, what the heck? This was something very, very different. And then he made even wilder statements. Oh, awakening is not something that happens to a person. That you can again get, and now you have it. It's also not something new that you then get to have if you've practiced successfully. Practice enlightenment, and this is what Dogen did. He put the characters for practice and enlightenment, the two characters together, and he said, this is practice enlightenment, not practice to be enlightened. Practice enlightenment is a luminous quality of being and existence itself. And when the ancestors said that there's not actually such a thing as an awakened person, there's only awakened activity. See, these are small things, but it's a revolutionary difference. What they were referring to is the functioning of Zazen as your life, maintaining the Buddha way through our commitment to practice. That maintaining of the Buddha way, remember that line? That's what you were doing this morning. What we were doing this morning wasn't some similar thing or some halfway done thing because you're sleepy and it's the first day. What you were doing this morning was the exact thing that he's talking about. You're maintaining the Buddha way by your upright sitting, even if it didn't feel like much to you. It's also one of the reasons why in some places, he says it differently in different places. Suzuki Roshi would say, Soto practice is not a gradual practice. It's actually immediate practice, because it's like sudden awakening. Because when you practice with sincerity and commitment, you realize, oh, it's all here now. but it's, if you think of it as something you can create, then it seems like, you know, just little bit by little bit it's happening, but actually it's not. It's always here. It's already here. It's immediate. And you can wake up to that reality. And Dogen came home with this perspective, like really psyched. It's like, this is really different. And so in the first few paragraphs of the Fukan Sasengi, he does what Dogen always does. Two things. He always does this. Number one, he tells you everything right up front and then makes commentary and the rest of it. And number two, he flips around the way you think it's going to go. And you go, what? Wait a minute. I thought it was the other way. So he does this one in the same way. Most of us think, I don't care how many times you've heard this, we still think this. Buddha, Bodhidharma, all these people sat so they could awaken. You say, you know, 6 years of sitting, 9 years of facing a wall, you're going to awaken. He said, no, they sat Zazen because they were awake. Because they realized it's all here, they sat down and maintained that Buddha Dharma by their sitting. That's what you did this morning. So they're not sitting to awaken. They're sitting because they're awake and they wanted to express it and deepen themselves in it. How is that? Remember when you talked about the refuges yesterday? Wasn't it? Didn't you say it? Who said the refuges were part of what we were talking about? I think you did. It was you. Okay. I couldn't remember who it was. Thank you. My memory is very bad. That's right. Because you were sitting over here. That's what I was doing. So what were they doing? They were immersing body and mind deeply in the way, awakening true mind. They were entering deeply the merciful ocean of Buddha's way. They were bringing harmony to everyone, free from hindrance, just by their sitting. So in each of those beautiful lines that you were repeating, that's what you were doing, and that's what you do every time. And this is what the ancestors were doing, and what we're doing, simply by upright, silent stillness, sitting. And by the way, what time am I supposed to stop? 7:35-ish? That's a real shame.
You know, you can continue this evening.
I can? Okay, I'll say a few more things.
Okay.
Because we have a little time for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm having too much fun. But this is important, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, without this, you know, there's that, when we were reading yesterday, which was so great to do, she read that first paragraph, and then I started the second one, where it goes, and yet, and yet, if you read the Fukan Sasengi and chant it over and over without the perspective that I'm setting in place, it's hard to follow. Because it doesn't make sense if you think about it in the way of, I'm going to practice to get enlightened. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit into our expected paradigm about meditation and spiritual practice. So that's why this is so important. For example, somebody read the first paragraph. Who wants to read?
The way is basically perfect and all pervading. How could it be contingent upon practice and realization? The Dharma vehicle is free and untrammeled. What need is there for concentrated effort? Indeed, the whole body is far from beyond the world's dust. Is far beyond the world's dust. Who could believe in a means to brush it clean? It is never apart from one, right where one is. What is the use of going off here and there to practice?
Now, does it sound different now? I mean, with the perspective I'm talking about, it's like, oh. So here's another translation just for fun. Primordial awareness is in essence perfect and pervades everywhere. How could it be dependent upon what anyone does to practice or realize it? The movement of reality does not need us to give it a push. Do I need to say that it is free from delusion? The vast expanse of reality can never be darkened by the dust of presumptions. Who could then believe that it needs to be cleaned of such dust to be what it is? It's never separate from where you are, so why scramble around in search of it? Since you're starting to get the point. Okay, we'll go just a tiny bit further. Somebody read the second paragraph. And yet,
if there is the slightest discrepancy, the way is as distant as heaven from earth. If the least like or dislike arises, the mind is lost in confusion. Suppose one gains pride of understanding and inflates one's own enlightenment, glimpsing the wisdom that runs through all things, attaining the way and clarifying the mind, raising an aspiration to escalate the very sky. One is making the initial partial excursions about the frontiers, but is still somewhat deficient in the vital way of total emancipation.
Okay. So yeah, everything is always and already present. And yet, if you don't practice, you can't realize it. So this is about realizing something, not about creating something, about waking up to something, like in light, that they turn the light on. It's like, oh, here's that other translation just to give you the fun of listening to it in a different way. The thing is, if there's the slightest gap, sky and earth are ripped apart. If you give rise to even a flicker of like and dislike, you lose your mind and illusion. Just suppose you become puffed up about your understanding and inflate your little experiences. I love that. You think you've seen the truth, attain the way, recognize the luminosity of mind, and can grasp at heaven. You might think that these initial jaunts about the borders are entering the realm of enlightenment, but you've lost the way of complete liberation. And then, you know, there's that section where he gives the examples of the Buddha and Bodhidharma. And if they did this, then that's what we should do. And remember, this is a time in which there was ancestor worship and an immense reverence for people that who attained things. So it's a very different perspective than our culture tends to have. So he's speaking to people who would really resonate with that kind of talk. And he's saying, follow their lead, and you'll go where they go. And then he starts with some instruction, where I'll stop now, because then he gives some instruction on attention, how to orient yourself, and then he gives some sitting instructions. And we'll go further than that. So remember, this is a very practical instructional manual, but it's revolutionary. And Peg and I are going to continue to walk through it like this. And Sandra's going to talk some more about some of the embodiment issues. And we'll engage in all the forms, because we're going to see that all the forms that we do in here are further maintaining of the Buddha way from that sitting. And remember, if you act in this way for a long time, you will become like this. We're being shaped by what we do. And Dogen was basically saying, everyone can do this practice. You don't have to accomplish something. You just have to do it. Even when you're sitting there, sleepy, tired, mad, angry, daydreaming, in pain, joyful, just do it. You don't have to accomplish anything, although there are many teachers and teachings and practices, they all come down to Zazen in the end. The way is simple, straightforward, and really beautiful, just like the flower. So that's enough for today, this morning at least.